recording this on March 27th, and that means two things. I spend a little too much reading, and it's time for the Darkness News Update, sponsored by Evluma. This is a company that really respects and values responsible outdoor light at night. That's why their products come equipped with optional shields to limit your uplight, backlight, and are adjustable in terms of dimness. They also already come with lenses to eliminate glare. That's evluma.com or the link in the description. Let's get into the news. March 23rd was Earth Hour. I bring this up because while it is a day generally associated with broader environmental issues, it is a time when everyone is supposed to turn their lights off for an hour. And periodically I see people ask, why don't we have a night where we just all turn the lights off? And I have to remind them that it's right there. It's March 23rd. It happens every year. Speaking of things that happen every year, Dark Sky Week is running April 2nd through 8th. Plenty of local events. You should look up what's going on and try to enjoy the week itself. Plan B, an EU think tank, headed by a number of people who might sound familiar, have endorsed a light pollution manifesto, which is calling on EU regulators to limit light pollution. You can also sign on to the manifesto as well if you want to show your support. The Royal Society's Journal has published Changing Street Lighting Schemes for the Ecological Availability of Darkness. This is a new technology that uses high-detailed 2D scans and then converts them into 3D objects that creates a digital twin of a city that allows planners to adjust lighting for ecological impact, and it's a really cool tool that we can use, or we'll see more use soon. We have a new device for circadian entrainment. This device switches between blue and yellow LEDs at 19 hertz, that's 19 times a second, in hopes of improving melatonin impact early in the morning, as well as before bed. Radiotherapy results do improve if matched to circadian rhythm. That is to say that morning treatments against against cancer see better outcomes than afternoon or evening treatments, especially for women, weirdly enough. We've also seen that meal timing is linked with sleep quality and anxiety in young adults. This is a Brazilian study that shows that morning types experience fewer symptoms of anxiety, and that doesn't change when they eat, but for evening types, the later they eat, the more likely they are going to have poor sleep and experience anxiety symptoms. There's a new study showing that chronoworking, a system whereby for hybrid and remote workers, where you set your schedule around your natural sleep rhythms, improves your rest cycle overall. So if you're a morning person and you're a hybrid worker or a remote worker, you should just start earlier. You should just start earlier if you can. And the same is true for late types, if you can. We have a study from Belgium. This is actually involves a second study, a follow-on study. A group of Belgian lepidopterists had a large collection of moths that they had captured in light traps. This was part of an older study, but they still had the specimens, and they sat down and they measured the wingspans of all these moths that they had caught, and noticed that the traps set in urban environments had caught fewer moths overall, and that the moths they did catch had smaller wings. And they believe that this is an evolutionary adaptation, showing that the smaller wings are helping moths avoid lighting issues, or light-related issues in their life. We've also seen that sleep deprivation alters the estrus cycle in rats, which is to say that if you cut the amount of sleep a rat gets, their ovulation shifts, which is interesting. A federal court of appeals has ruled in a case in Wisconsin showing that lighting bylaws and requirements for zoning plans are not, in fact, religious discrimination. This has been ongoing for almost 5 years now, but a Catholic school, high school in Edgewood, wanted to add field lighting to their football field for night games, and city council denied them based on zoning plans, and then they tried again, and they tried for LED this time, and the neighbors complained, and the city planning office sided with the neighbors, and so this school, Edgewood High School, sued the city for religious discrimination, citing that the denials as well as the procedural issues of getting these approvals through showed religious discrimination. That was struck down in a Wisconsin court, and now they appealed it to a federal court, and it's been struck down. So now we have a precedent that limits on lighting and taking community feedback into account for lighting plans of religious institutions is not necessarily religious discrimination. A federal precedent for this that might be handy if you're listening over in Utah or Wyoming. In Switzerland, Gantrisch, a park south of Bern, Switzerland, covering 24,000 acres and 19 actual villages, is now Switzerland's first dark sky park. Those 19 villages had to put in a lot of work to change their lighting to secure this, but there we go. Lake County, Oregon, is the largest dark sky sanctuary, covering 2.5 million acres in southeastern Oregon. Kaikoura, New Zealand, is altering their lighting rules. The town itself is near two dark sky recognized sanctuaries, and they are putting in cutoff and color temp rules to, you know, just help out their neighbors. Same is true of Kua Tonu. They're preparing to actually achieve dark sky status fully as a community, so they've created a new trust to create a new lighting policy. In Denmark, the island of Mandy is their fourth international dark sky place. Mandy is a small island off the west coast of Denmark. It is home to 70 residents and 25 streetlights. Those 25 streetlights will now be turning off between 11 and 5 a.m. In New Hampshire, the Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust is offering lighting assessments for private homes. The community is also pursuing recognition from Dark Sky International, and the Heritage Trust is working with locals to assess their lighting and decide what they need to do to improve that, one house at a time. In St. Germain, Wisconsin, they have tabled a proposed lighting ordinance indefinitely because someone pointed out that Wisconsin state law prevents municipalities from passing changes to lighting rules near water. And this is legislatively what is known as a bummer. A Burnaby, BC condo tower was strobe lighting their entire neighborhood. This tower is still under construction and definitely needs a visit from an electrician. And in Newburyport, Connecticut, there is some locals are offering up a dark sky presentation. I mention this because Newburyport is also home to a funeral home that's been part of an ongoing small-town drama about how it is lit, because the owners of the funeral home say that they can light it per the business rules, even though they're in a residential neighborhood, and it's been a brouhaha, and I don't know if this is a coincidence or if it is some top-tier passive aggression. Either way, I've been Scott Wachter. I want to thank Luma, I want to thank Lighthead, I want to thank the Lighting and Darkness Foundation, I want to thank Nailed, and I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, take care of yourself.